that you've chosen to come and spend the morning with us. Thank you. We just ask that God will continue to bless you. We have just a few announcements we'd like to share with you, some things going on. Our sister church over at Lynchwood Church of God over off 174th is having a concert this coming Friday. The details are up there. It's also in your bulletin if you would like to attend that. Ladies, coming up on June 3rd, there will be an event, a lunch and an escape room. So you meet here at the church at 11:30, and then you'll gather and head out for lunch and then going to the escape room. So mark your calendars. Want to make sure that you are aware of that. I just want to remind you that Rockwood Church is here, that we are the people of God partnering with God in the mission to redeem the world. God's told us that we need to love our neighbors as ourselves, and that's really where we've been focusing on. Pastor Jerry just continues to lead us in that teaching, and we're grateful for that. I do want to ask that you would silence your cell phones just as a courtesy to those people around you and to the pastors. Let's bow in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this beautiful weather, just getting up and feeling the warmth and seeing the sunshine. Lord, we thank you for the seasons that you have blessed us with. Lord, we thank you for our mothers who sacrifice so much for us when we're little, when we're older. Lord, throughout their lives, moms seem to just give of themselves. Lord, you gave of yourself. You gave your son that we could have a relationship with you, and we are forever grateful. Lord, we desire to become closer to you, that we can be your hands and feet and show your love to this community around us. Lord, we ask your blessing on Pastor Jerry this morning as he opens your word and teaches us the principles that you have shared with him, that your Holy Spirit will help to change us to become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great, Pastor. Well, good morning, everybody. Great to have you with us today on this Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of you who that applies to this morning. Today was Mother's Choice, right, for our songs today. I know that my wife and my mother-in-law got a call asking about their favorite songs, so we can thank our moms today, or those who were contacted, for the choice of our worship today. So thank you, moms. Appreciate you. Hey, we've got I've got some special friends with me today. Kelly Meyer and her son Cody are with us. Kelly, we met Kelly back, they're right up here. You can say hi to them.
Hey.
There you go. Thank you, Jeremy. So they were part of the ministry that we had in Tulare, California. And Kelly is a CNA. And many of you know my mom had surgery this week. She had a reverse shoulder replacement. You want to look up, you can watch that surgery on YouTube. It's really exciting. Saws and hammers and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, Kelly's a CNA, and so we invited her to come up and share some time with my mom. So yeah, so we're dubbing her Saint Kelly. So yeah, because I couldn't do what she does, right, with my mom. I love my mom. Okay, I'm not gonna say anymore because I don't want to get in trouble. That's right. We love our moms, but you know, sons and moms, we have special relationship. Roy knows all about that. So anyway. It's good to be here today. If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you this morning to turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to continue our walk, our slow slog through the book of Matthew. We're in Matthew chapter 11, which those of you who are keeping track, we're not quite halfway there. But that's okay, because, you know, Jesus said a lot of things, he did a lot of things, and we can learn a lot. You know, we've talked about the fact that our desire is to be disciples of Jesus who know what Jesus knows and do what Jesus did, right? That's our goal. So what better way to do that than to dive into his life and the things that he said and the things that he did? And so that's what we're doing. So Matthew chapter 11, we're going to look at verses 20 through 30 this morning. I know a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Jesus' response to John the Baptist's disciples' question about whether or not Jesus was the Messiah. And Jesus didn't just flat out say, yeah, I'm the Messiah, what's your problem, why are you asking again and again? He pointed to his words and his deeds. He said, look, there's healing going on. There's things happening that are can only be explained as part of the kingdom of God. But then in verse 16, Jesus talked about the fact that some people are doing the opposite of what are expected of them, and he kind of continues that same line of thinking today in our text. And so he says there in, the title this morning is Changing Direction. So he says there in Matthew chapter 11, it says, "Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. He says, 'Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." Now, some of you are thinking, wow, what an uplifting Mother's Day message we've got in store for us this morning. And these are one of those, you know, these are one of those joyous days when as a pastor, you're walking through a book of the Bible that probably you would have, you know, maybe given a cursory look at and said, okay, we're going to, you know, yeah, Jesus said this, we're going to move on. But today we're going to look exactly at what Jesus was talking about. Because as we look at Jesus' life in its entirety, we see that his message was about the kingdom of God, right? And the kingdom of God is about peace and mercy and reconciliation and hope and healing and above all else, a life that is lived in love. And so in this passage today, we have here Jesus' message of love colliding with his message of justice and judgment in the end. You see, there were those who heard and saw Jesus' proclamation and demonstration of the kingdom of God, and they turned a blind eye to that. You see, Jesus was presenting to them a better way, a way that was not ruled by law, not ruled by sin, but a life that was ruled by love. And there were those that rejected him. And so consequently, Jesus says, "Woe to you," a Greek word, oi, which means miserable are you. An expression of solemn compassion and grief, or a declaration that there's misery in living a life only for yourself. You see, Jesus has stated clearly that the kingdom of God is accessible through repentance. And we've talked about a lot of times, repentance simply means changing our lives, changing direction in our lives. And Jesus gave a lot of examples of communities, both Jewish and Gentile, that had seen his work, that had seen what he has done, but had failed to change their lives. You see, we see that same response to Jesus today. People who hear the message of love, the message of grace, the message of God, the message of Jesus, and yet they continue to live for themselves a life apart from him. So in light of this, the question is, how should we then respond? Well, as I walk through this passage of Scripture, one of the things that was clear to me was that we are called to take the message of change to our neighborhoods, regardless of their response. You see, Jesus didn't set up shop in the synagogue and wait for people to come to him. He spent most of his time walking around, encountering people along the way. And I think, as I've said before, you know, too often we set up shop in our houses of worship and we expect people to come in order that they may be changed, right? To hear a message from the pastor or hear a word in song or somehow come to church and be changed. And here in America, there are churches on every corner. Have you noticed that? How many, you know, it'd be an interesting thing for you to do today to count the number of churches that you drive by to get to this place here today. You know, it's staggering. There are a lot of churches in our communities that are proclaiming a good news of Jesus and his kingdom. And with the advent of the internet and social media, there's no shortage of those who are proclaiming a version of the gospel to those who want to hear what they're proclaiming. The sad fact is, as I've shared before, even in this environment, and it might be perhaps because of that environment, the number of people who are claiming no religion or no relationship with Jesus is growing daily. And I know I've said it before, but people aren't seeking the church to find spiritual guidance. And even if they do come to church as a regular attender, which today is defined as going twice a month, that's a regular attender these days. We're being discipled more by our media than we are by Jesus Christ. I mean, think about your own life. How much time do you spend being discipled by Jesus? How much time do you spend in His Word, communicating with Him through prayer, asking Him to guide your life? How much time do you spend? And contrast that now with how much time we spend consuming other information from various media sources. The news. Fake or not. Books. Other resources. You know, oftentimes we need to understand that that's why it's important for us to follow Jesus' example and hit the streets with the demonstration and proclamation of the message of the kingdom of God. If we want to see change in our world. Because people are being discipled. Oftentimes, they're not being discipled by the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ. Now, by hitting the streets, I'm not talking about the fact that we need to go grab a soapbox and a megaphone and become a street evangelist. But we do need to follow Jesus' instructions to find people of peace. Remember, we talked about people of peace. Those are people who know we're believers in Jesus Christ but still want to hang out with us, even though they're not. People who understand that there's a gospel light in us. We need to find those people and we need to invite them into our lives and share meals together with them. Share our lives with them. You know, too often we think that discipleship and change is about getting more information into people's lives and not living life together. And I think that's one of the biggest issues with our churches today is we fail to do life together. We just do church together. We just come on Sunday and we fellowship and we love on each other and we enjoy each other, but then we go home and we get busy with our lives and we don't hang out. We don't do things together. Occasionally we wait for the church to pop up an event like an escape room, and I'm praying right now that the women escape. I don't want Chris to be stuck there because I couldn't do without her. So Nikki's on vacation today, but Nikki, bring them home. Please bring them home. But we wait for the church to kind of pop up events, and then we get together. But we fail as people who love each other to kind of hang out with each other, right? We need to understand that taking the message to the street is not just sharing information with people, but it's building relationship with folks, and that's a slow process, and it's a messy process, but we need to do it. So the second thing I see in this passage of Scripture is the fact not only do we need to take the message of the street, but we need to persevere in sharing the message of Jesus even in the midst of indifference and outright rejection. You see, Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum were the places that I said were that Jesus did the most of His teachings and His miracles, and He continued to show that He was the Messiah, but still they didn't change. And again, Jesus says in verse 21, "Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." You see, basically Jesus is saying here, you've seen, but you aren't getting it. You've seen, but you don't understand that I am presenting you a good way, a way of life and love. But even so, Jesus kept on proclaiming. He kept on demonstrating the kingdom of God despite rejection and His eventual death. You see, friends, we need to show that kind of perseverance in our efforts to introduce people to Jesus. Now, often we quit too easily, or we write off segments of the population as not being worthy of our effort to bring the love of Jesus to them. We need to understand that becoming a missional people, as Larry reminded us today, our mission as a church is just simply not about serving people through barbecues or providing dumpsters or help to, you know, in order to help declutter their life. Now that's the demonstration part. That's living in love and having them witness our imperfect, changed lives before them. But if we never get to a Holy Spirit-led place where we introduce people to Jesus and encourage them to change their life for the better, we're missing part of the equation. Because Jesus understood, as I said earlier, there's a collision between love and justice. There are consequences to not changing our life. Matthew 11:22, Jesus says, "But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you." The truth is, the world and everyone in it, past, present, and future, are going to be held accountable for our lives, the way we live our lives. And what do we do with the message of Jesus? And whether we live out our faith in love, those things matter now and at the end of our lives. Now remember earlier Jesus said in as he sent out the 12, he told them in Matthew 10:32, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven." You see, folks, if we don't get to the place where Jesus is Lord, if we don't get the place where we're living our lives in love, if we don't change the direction of our lives from living in darkness and moving into the light, then we need to understand that we're heading for some issues, some problems in our lives and in the coming age. In Romans 6:23, we read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." And oftentimes we like to peg that passage of Scripture and say, "See, other people, the wages of your sin is death." But guess what? I know Jesus, so I've got the gift of eternal life. We like to kind of, in smugness, you know, point out other people's sin and forget that we are all sinners in need of God's grace every day. Amen. I love the way Eugene Peterson puts this in the Message. I didn't put it up on the screen, but it says this: "But now that you found you don't have to listen to sin tell you what to do and have discovered the delight of listening to God telling you, what a surprise. A whole, healed, put-together life right now with more and more life on the way." In verse 23, it says, "Working hard for sin your whole life and your pension is death, but God's gift is real life, eternal life delivered by Jesus, our Master." You see, in this passage, Paul is talking about freedom in Christ. And too often our world is in bondage to philosophies, to ways of living that are so contrary to the love of Jesus that is found in Him and in His life. We're living for things like power and pleasure, and we think that that's going to bring us life, that that's going to bring us wholeness, that that somehow is going to bring us joy. But the problem is, the only thing that will lead to is maybe some temporary joy, but not real and lasting joy in our lives. So the question is, how do we make the change and help others to do the same? Paul gives us a clue later in the book of Romans. He says in Romans 12:1-2, he says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." He says, "This is your true and proper worship." He says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." See, Paul is laying out for us a twofold process. He says we need to turn over our minds and our bodies to Jesus Christ and allow His love to transform us and the way we live. I love the way the Message paraphrases this verse. He says, "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering, Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what He wants from you and quickly responding to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, developing well-formed maturity in you. I love that. Bring your everyday, your ordinary, your sleeping, your eating, your going around, everything you are and everything you're doing before God. Live it out in love. Live it out as Jesus would have us live it out. You know, to me, this is kind of the GPS of the Bible. So how many of you have ever used a GPS to get anywhere? Okay, most of us have. So, you know, GPS tells you where to go, what to do, right? But before it tells you what to do and where to go, you got to set a destination, right? And so you set a destination, and sometimes the GPS will get you there. Sometimes I've had GPSs get me, you have arrived, and it's an empty field. It's like, okay, I've arrived somewhere, but I haven't arrived where I really wanted to go, right? You see, the thing is, we as followers of Jesus need to set our destination not to heaven, but our destination to the love of Jesus Christ. And if we get off track, sometimes we'll probably hear Holy Spirit to say to us, recalculating. Ever have that happen in your life? I mean, your GPS, but your life? Holy Spirit said, wait a second, you're not living a life of love. You're not living a life that I want you to live. You see, for a lot of people in and outside of the church, our GPS is not set on Jesus and His love, but it's set on something else. It might be set on making all kinds of money. And if our GPS, if our life's destination, if our life's focus is making a bunch of money, we're not headed in the right direction. It's going to cause us some problems. If our life destination is set for power or for popularity, or for pleasure, we're not heading in the right direction. If our life is set on selfish ambition and desires, we're not heading in the right direction. And if that's the case, our life will bear the fruits of our choice. See, that's what Jesus was talking about. He's saying, look, I live my life before them. I proclaim the kingdom of God. I showed them by healing what the life as God intended it to be was like. But still, they had their GPS set in a different direction. They didn't want that. They thought that life, real life, could be attained through pleasure, through power, through other means, instead of living life for Jesus Christ. You see, our job as missional people, again, as Larry said, is to partner with God in God's mission to redeem the world, to help fix what sin has broken and is breaking, including our relationship with God and with others, to help people change the GPS setting in their life from all the other things that scream loudly in our world to set it to Jesus and His love. And because of that truth, we need to understand that there are rewards for changing the direction of our life. We'll actually get to the destination that we were created for, the love of God and the love of others. But Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 11, 25 through 28, He says, "And at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Anybody need some rest today? I'm not talking about a nap. We all could use one of those probably. But do you need real rest in your life, real peace, real joy, real satisfaction. Jesus says, look, if you set your destination, if you set your GPS, there is rewards, yes, in the next life, but there is even more rewards in this life. I will give you rest. You see, the point that Jesus is making is that those who think they're already wise and learned, that they already know all there is to know about God and Jesus, those people will not be taught. As we all know, the person who's the hardest to teach is not the untrained, but those who are arrogant, those who think they've got it all dialed in, those who think they know it all, right? You know, Terry reminded us last week in such a wonderful way that humility is the key to knowing God and knowing who we are in Jesus Christ. Humility is the key to knowing who we are and Jesus Christ. And when we partner with God, He exchanges our weariness for rest, our burden for peace. He gives us life instead of death. And Jesus is saying, what it takes is a childlike faith to get off our high horse, to stop thinking we've got it all nailed down, we've got it all figured out, and to humbly stand, sit, kneel, prostrate ourselves before Holy Spirit and say, what have I gotten wrong? What do I need to know to live the life that you have called me to? What do I need to know to truly set my life's direction on you and your love? You see, Paul reminds us of our freedom that is found in Jesus Christ. In Galatians 5, 1 through 6, it says this, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He says, stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. Faith expressing itself in love. And too often I think we burden ourselves with religious practices, and that leads to burnout and exhaustion. Because those practices are done many times out of obligation and not out of a true love for God and love for others. You see, Jesus doesn't say in that passage of Scripture, come to church and I will give you rest. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, you know, come to religion and I will give you rest. Or come to a specific set of beliefs and I will give you rest. Now, what does Jesus say? He says, come to me and I will give you rest. Unburden yourself of religion. Unburden yourself of having to think you've got to have all the right doctrine, all the right beliefs. Unburden yourself of judging other people for the fact that they don't believe like me, or they don't think like me, or they don't act like me, or they're not going to church. We can unburden ourselves of those things and find true and lasting life. It's not my responsibility anyway. I've said it before, but I love what Billy Graham had to say. He said, look, it's God's job to judge, my job to love. It's not my job. My job is to set my GPS to love and Jesus, to set my GPS to faith expressing itself in love, and then to live that out in my life every single day. You know, I think too often in the Western church, we're so intellectual. We want to get the orthodoxy right. We want to get the right beliefs. And I'm not saying that there is an orthodoxy. I'm not saying that there are right beliefs, but we want to get our orthodoxy right, but we forget about our orthopraxy, our practice, our body. See, Paul again laid out two things. He said, we got to get our mind right and we got to get our bodies right. And too many people think they got their mind right and they're not getting their body right. They're getting the belief, they think they got the beliefs dialed in, but their life is not bearing the fruit of orthodox belief. Living our life in love, right? Faith expressing itself in love. Asking ourselves the question, what does love require of me in this situation? What does it require of me in this situation? When we have struggles out in our world, when we have conflicts, when we have political and religious differences, we need to ask ourselves, what does love require of me? When I don't believe like somebody else, what does love require of me? When someone's causing me grief or I'm causing them grief, what does love require of me? Sometimes it requires of me to say, hey, I don't understand. Or sometimes it requires of me to say, you know, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So the question I want to ask to you this morning is this. Where is your GPS? Where is the GPS of your life set? Are you hearing Holy Spirit this morning saying, recalculate, recalculate? Because the destination you have set is not the destination that Jesus has required us to set. Even though we've seen him over and over again, we've heard his words, we've seen him in the gospel practicing love and healing and mercy and grace. I think too often we read this passage of scripture and we're like, yeah, woe to you, whoever our enemy is or whoever we think doesn't deserve God's love. Woe to you because, you know, you've heard about Jesus, but you're not getting it because I've got it, right? But to me, as I look at this passage of scripture, it's like holding up a mirror in front of my face and asking myself, woe to me. Am I getting it? Do I see Jesus? Am I following him in love? Am I practicing my faith, working it out in love? Or am I trying just to get all the right information and not walking it out in my everyday journey? See, Jesus reminds us that even though people saw and heard his proclamation and demonstration of the kingdom, they rejected him. And we should expect the same. And we need to ask ourselves, is that me? Is that me? Have I seen the declaration, the proclamation of the kingdom? And am I truly living a life of love that would willingly lay down my life for my brothers and sisters or even my enemy? Is my GPS set to Jesus and his love? Or is it set to anything else? You see, we need to, as the followers of Jesus, continue to proclaim Jesus' message of love. Continue to demonstrate through, yes, barbecues and dump on us days and ministering to the teachers at Davis. When he continued to demonstrate the love of Jesus and proclaim that there is true life, true joy, true hope in living our life for Jesus. But here's the question. Are you finding that in your life in Christ? Are you finding burden? Do you feel like you're being weighed down by whatever? By your religion or your religious practices. Jesus says, lay it down. Lay it down. And follow me. So, let's take a moment to reflect. What's Holy Spirit saying to you this morning? And you might want to write it down. What's Holy Spirit saying to you this morning? As you think about a changed life, changing the direction of your life, are you heading in the right direction? And here's a challenge this week. I want to encourage everybody to spend some time examining the GPS setting of your mind and your life. Where are you heading? Ask yourself, where do I need to recalculate? Is your GPS set to love? Is the only thing that matters to you is faith expressing itself in love? Or something else? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to continue to walk through your life and your the words as given to us by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Father, I thank you for the easy things that you say to us, and I thank you for the tough things you say to us. And Lord, the reminder that our lives matter here in this earth. The way we think and the way we act matters. Lord, remind us of our need to set the destination of our life to love of God and love of others in Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive us for being so sure of ourselves, sure of our beliefs, sure that we've got it all dialed in all right, that we forget to be open and listen to Holy Spirit. God, examine my life this week. Show me any area in my life, Lord, where I need to change, where I've gotten off track, where I need to recalculate and move in your direction. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your sacrifice for us. Help us in our lives to do no less for those that we come across this week, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.